Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her, and Jesus approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening after sunset, they brought to Jesus all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door, and Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left, and he went off to a deserted place where Jesus prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding Jesus, they said, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." And so Jesus went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Please be seated. Okay. Takes me a little while to get set up here. I worked 5 hours on this sermon, so it better be good. Hopefully not too long. The very first healing that Jesus performed was a family affair. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. You know, sadly, mother-in-laws have been the butt of jokes for centuries. Do we have any mother-in-laws here? Oh, there you go. Yeah, my pity goes out to you. All those jokes. Take this one, for example. My mother-in-law suffers from diabetes and hay fever. I always try to cheer her up with chocolate and flowers. Isn't that nasty? That's right nasty. But Simon Peter, he must have loved his mother-in-law because he asked Jesus to go immediately to her and had the hope that Jesus would heal his mother-in-law. But the way Jesus healed her is very simple, and it's undramatic. All Jesus did, if you notice this healing, all Jesus did was grab her by the hand, raise her up from the bed, and she was healed. I mean, a man swiffing his wood floors has more excitement than this. So it's a very plain, bland miracle as far as action. But if you look closer, you will find some very powerful things that Jesus did in this healing. First, the very first non-demonic healing that Jesus did was with a woman. That's a critical fact right there. Remember, folks, women were regarded only slightly above children, Samaritans, shepherds, the divorced, prostitutes, tax collectors, and lepers. That's the way it was back then, you know. Women, along with the groups I just mentioned, they had no standing in the Jewish society. For example, if, say, a woman burnt the dinner, the husband could immediately write a writ of divorce and kick her out. She had nowhere to go. So thank God that if a Jewish woman could cook great matzo ball soup, she might be considered more important. So women, don't burn the pork. And you shouldn't be eating pork anyways if you're Jewish. But true, women had no standing. And so by this healing of a woman, Jesus is proclaiming everyone is important to God. Everybody is important in God's eyes. God doesn't care about your money or your looks or whether you can lead a team to the Super Bowl. He don't care about that stuff. God believes all his children deserve the very best. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Fear not. You are worth more value than many sparrows." So don't be afraid to approach God, even though you have failed him many times. Have any of you failed God out there? I know John, I have, you know. But here's the thing. God wants you to come to him with faith, not successes. He just wants your faith, even when you fail. We have a very good God, don't we? Very good God. Second, the way Jesus grasped her hand is revealing. Jesus didn't grasp her hand gently, like when a male suitor gently holds a woman's hand to kiss it, you know. It wasn't a little touch. No, in the Bible, Mark uses the word egeren, a Greek word which means a forceful grasp, a forceful grip. Kind of like when your cat grabs your arm when you try to give him a bath, you know, like woof. Jesus locked in right on her hand. And it's like he's saying, "Don't worry, I got you. You're healed, and I'm not letting go." And Jesus does more than just gently lift her up. No. When you look at what the Greek says, it says he thrusts her out of bed. He uses the strength of his hand holding hers, and he more than just gently raises her up, he jumps her out of bed. That's what the word means. He's going, woof, he jumps her right out. It's like Jesus is saying, "Get up. You're not sick anymore." And Jesus was all excited, you know? "Get up. You're well." See, Jesus rejoices in the miracles he does. He loves doing miracles. Thank God. And so he basically jumps her out of bed. And I remember my 21 years when I preached at my Black Catholic Communion Church in Winton Terrace. John, you know where that's at, right? Yeah, that little church up there, that's where I preach, Mother of Christ. And the worshipers would always declare, "When God heals you, you know you've been healed." And then they would all go, "Amen." So I'll take an amen today. Amen. There you go. Ooh, he sounds good as them. You've been grafted to the vine. But, oh, yeah, they'd always, "You know you've been healed." Be sure. Hold on to God's hand when life tries to sink you and keep you in a bed of sickness. Hold on to God's hand and let him lift you, jump you, thrust you back into well-being. My brothers and sisters, third, When the mother-in-law was healed, what's the first thing she did? Bible says she waited on them. She served the needs of those who were hungry. There are so many people that I meet in my ministry. They're hungry, not just for food, such as the Vincent de Paul does such a good work to feed the hungry. But people are hungry for love. People yearn for love. I met so many lonely, unloved people in my work. I mean, like every week, every day sometimes, I'll meet someone who feels alone. And the number one pain, I'm learning this too as I get older, the number one pain that people face when they retire is loneliness. I'm meeting a lot of retired people, and they're lonely. And there's a man, his name is Joe Lamme. He's a national figure. Joe Lamme, he started a group to serve retirees who feel cut off from their friends. And they gather simply to talk. And Lamme said, when it comes to happiness, it's not about money, it's about relationships. Oh, so true, so true. And you see, Lamme himself, he retired from work at 75. And unfortunately, loneliness kept working in his life. He had an empty house, empty walls, and they all became his friends. His wife died recently. He had no children to visit. And friends died, and they moved away. And then Lamme made a life-changing discovery at a Walgreens pharmacy in Seattle. When his turn finally came to approach the counter, the pharmacist placed a pill bottle into a bag, stapled it, and tossed it into a box about 8 feet away. "Good shot," Lamme said to the pharmacist. "Practice," she replied. And each of them laughed and carried on with their day. While this interaction might have been insignificant to the pharmacist, it carried meaning for Lamme, and it shifted the course of his whole day. He said, "I didn't have to tell her anything, but I did, and it made me happy." Made me happy. That little meeting. She and I had this little moment, this tiny little moment. Lamme discovered what other psychologists confirm. Even your smallest connections to another human being can fill you with joy. We need these connections. We were wired that way. God made us that way. And so that's why he started a bi-weekly talking group of older people just like him. And 1 hour is all it's supposed to last, but he said many times it turns into the whole afternoon. This group that he started is so successful, it's gone nationwide. It's all across the nation now. His little meeting of talking is in many large cities in the country. And Lamme concluded, The typical American dream, being successful and accumulating wealth, are not important. Relationships are. Well, I've been attending a group like this for years. And we have them right here in West Union and in Peebles, Ohio. It's called church. You're in it right now. This is one of the groups, church, where we connect with each other and we connect with God. That's why I'm happy when I come down here, because you're my family and I love connecting with you. Remember, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. So I have to go to Linda and Rose to find out all the gossip, find out what's going on. We have wonderful breakfasts, don't we? Very important to my ministry. But we're in church, we connect with each other, we connect with Jesus, and we celebrate the big moment when we really connect with God at this altar. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Wow, it just blows my mind that God, our gigantic God of the universe, will come to that little table and into your little heart. My brothers and sisters, when we leave church, God sends you and me to do what Peter's mother-in-law did, to wait on them. to wait on others, to serve them. There are a lot of others who need connected to God too. And we are sent out to lead that, to lead them to that connection to Jesus. We should not, my black friends at Mother of Christ, my black Catholic communion, they would say, we don't go to church, we make church. We make church. And you make church every time you leave here and you get others to connect with God by your love, your care, by your witnessing, your faith. Make church out there as we go to church here. Take it with you. In closing my formal sermon, I close with a little joke. What do you call a book club that's been stuck on the same book for years? Church. I like that one, Joe. I like that one. That's from the Baptists. And that's a Baptist joke that we Catholics have never heard of. But let me close with a personal experience. I was feeling a little lonely on Wednesday. I think it was the weather. Because generally, I don't get lonely. You know, I feel pretty up. But for some reason, this past Wednesday, my day off, I didn't have anything on my schedule, so I was a little bored. Normally, I take care of chores, but I did them on Tuesday. So on Wednesday, you know, I just felt kind of punk, a little down. And so I figured, well, I can't sit in the house all day and look at these walls. So I'll go out to Kroger. I went to Kroger. I love Kroger. So I went to Kroger, and I always sit in my little cart, electric cart, and I go around and shop. And so I went to the counter, to the checkout counter, register, and in front of me were two people. Now, there was a lady up in front who had a trouble with her card, and so there was a delay. And the lady right in front of me was a little old lady. She was so cute. She was pretty old, I think like around 65. I lied. I shouldn't lie in church, God. No, she's well into her 80s. But she's a little older. She was so cute. So she turns around, and she looks at me, and she says, do you mind if I take your groceries out of your cart and put them on the belt, the conveyor belt? And I kind of was in shock. I said, well, if you want to. She says, I'm not doing anything, so I'll get your groceries for you. And she sure did. She picked up all my little cans of spinach and asparagus, and then my ice cream, you know, the good stuff. And she took each and every package or grocery item, put it on the belt. And no one's ever really done that for me. And I looked at her and I said, why did you do that? Smiling, of course, but it's so nice. Why did you do that? She said, because I'm Christian. And she said to me, asked me, do you go to church? I said, well, when I do go to church, I go to the Catholic Church. And she got this smile and she asked, are they Christian? Really? They don't believe we're Christian, John. I said, oh, yes, we're very Christian. And I knew all the buzzwords, Ken. So I said, oh, we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And I believe in the Bible. I believe God said it. He wrote it. And I believe it. And that settles it. She liked that. So she was very happy. And I thanked her profusely for what she did in putting the groceries on the conveyor belt. And then she said something that was, to me, profound. She says, you know, after church is over, we should always take Jesus outside of church. And that's why I did your groceries. I was deeply touched. She brought me Jesus. And I, after that, I felt good the rest of the day. I felt happy. It was so beautiful. The manager of Kroger was standing there. He looked at me and he says, you're hired. Go make church, okay? Go make church to anybody. A littlest interaction with another person could bring God to them and take away their loneliness. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.